During the week, I'm sure those who do read the Daily Bread, Dehan's little notes, and we find them very good. We had some precious times with David and Margaret around the family breakfast table. They did their own little quiet time, as we call it. But we'd get around and we'd go through the daily reading and then have a time of prayer. But one the other day, and I'm sure those who read it will recall it, entitled "Our Full-Time Intercessor" caught my eye. And it was Friday the 24th, actually, and the little caption says, "He always lives to make intercession for them," Hebrews 7:25. And it begins by saying, "It was dawn." This is the reading. "It was dawn, and I was painfully aware of only a few weeks into widowhood. After another restless night, I felt too weary to pray for myself. Lord," I sighed, "I need someone to pray for me right now." Almost instantly, God's Spirit comforted my distraught mind with the words of Hebrews 7:25, reminding me that Jesus was praying for me at that very moment. Now, I'll not read the whole lot of this particular reading. Those who have a Daily Bread can reread it for themselves. But it was the fact that it was a widow, someone who had just been widowed only a few weeks and felt too weary to pray for herself. "Lord," I sighed, "I need someone to pray for me." That took my mind back to an email I received from a friend in the old country, and he writes very, very briefly in big, big letters. His wife has a sight problem, so he must think I too have a sight problem. But he just sent me some headings, no comment, no dear Des, just these headings. And this came to mind as I read of this widow, this young woman who had been widowed just for a few weeks, and the title of the headings that he gave me was "The Widows in Luke's Gospel." Now, this may seem unusual for a ministry time this morning. I've never heard anybody speak on the widows. Maybe there has. Obviously there has when I've been given few from Luke's Gospel. And that's what I want to do this morning, just for a short while, widows in Luke's Gospel. But before we do that, one of them that is mentioned is referred to in the first book of Kings, well known, but I think we should read it just to get a background to what is before us this morning. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings. "And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came to him unto him, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.'" Verse 5. "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.' And he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die.' Elisha said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And if we were to read on, we'd read of the son falling sick and dying, and of course the cry to God by Elijah to deliver him, and God did revive him. Now let's turn to the New Testament, to the book of Luke. And the heading, as I say, that the brother sent me from the old country says, the widows in Luke's gospel. So let's look at the first one, and you'll find it in chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we'll read the portion just to get the connection again in verse 25 of chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now we know that this portion is a very popular portion around Christmas time for the celebration of the birth of Christ. But I'd like you to keep in your mind's eye, and as I would have it in my mind's eye, that scene when Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus into the temple, and Simeon taking that little babe, or taking that child, and taking him in his arms and saying, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, I feel sometimes, of course the scriptures say that the eyes of the ungodly, or the eyes of the unsaved, as we refer them, are blinded by the god of this world. And they cannot see what we see as we read these scriptures. We met up with a cousin, or the husband of a cousin, in Stanthorpe when we took Margaret and David up there. And this chap, he's on the verge, he's in the early stages of Alzheimer's, very sad. And yet his memory was quite good. He could go back to his long-term memory and even short-term memory and things. And the first thing he said to us when we arrived, some 5 hours late, I might add, because we detoured to get the Stanthorpe by Wooden Bong, and of course they knew why we had gone there. That was the place, the place of the birth of this family that we were visiting. and the cousins, so to speak. And anyway, we phoned them to say that we were there, and they understood. But all he could say to me, this dear man, and he was very kind to us when we first came here, all he could say to me is, "I've been looking forward to your coming. I've been looking forward to seeing you." And that was okay. But when we sat around the table and we got the opportunity, because he's a Lutheran, of Lutheran persuasion, being a Danish chap, the state religion is Lutheran, and we tried to sort of wind it around to the gospel, so to speak, and we got everything thrown at us, that he read the Bible from start to finish, and he knew his Bible, and he could quote verses. Well, he was depending, as we gathered from that, good works. His eyes were holding. He could not understand the things that we read so plainly. Those of us who have our eyes open, that we read so plainly, he couldn't see it. Well, eventually we got out of him that the only way to heaven was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope he's got a hold of that. Alas, the next day, he said a few things that made us question. It was just the way the mind worked, and the mood swings was from a genteel person to a very, not so much angry person, but agitated person. So I hope I never get to that stage I'm getting very forgetful, I must confess, ask Dorothy, and even in my short-term memory is going, I wonder what when I put things down. Someone says that, well, if you put your keys down and you don't know where you put them, the worry is that when you do find them, you wonder what to do with them. I hope I never get to that. Now, Brother Jim knows, I think, with his dear brother in Ipswich, just what I'm talking about, and those who had the onset of that. But it was sad to see that man's eyes were blinded to the simplicity of what this dear man said here, this dear Simeon could say, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." He was looking for the Lord. He was with a group of people who was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And he had the thrill and the joy of having his eyes opened to behold the very one. "Lord, let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And no wonder Joseph and Mary, his mother, marveled at the things which was spoken. Now, coming to our widow, Anna was a prophetess, and she was part of that little group, that little gathering. We sometimes, on a Tuesday night, we shouldn't use the word bemoan, but we tell the Lord we're just a few of us, and we feel our weakness. There's just a few of us, Lord. I don't know how many were out last Tuesday night. I got a guilt trip by not being here because the family arrived to say farewell to David and Margaret, and then somebody else arrived, and I felt, well, I better stay. Do I go? And even Margaret says, "Weren't you supposed to be at the prayer meeting?" Well, I don't know how many were here on Tuesday night. Three. Thank you, brother. Well, it makes me feel worse. But the thing is, we do get to that stage where we feel our weakness when there's only a few. But here was a few gathered, a few people that were really looking for the Lord's, the Messiah to come, waiting for him to come. And Anna was one of them. And says she was a widow 7 years. She lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of 84 years. And I was looking this up in a commentary, and the commentary said just something like this: she would have to be over 100. Now, let's just do a little bit of reflecting. We have just recently witnessed the state funeral of Her Majesty the Queen Mother. And that was a very moving thing as we watched it and observed her life. Now, she was a widow of great number of years too, highly respected and so on. But in comparison to the Queen Mother and this little verse that we have here in Anna, well, Anna, of Anna the prophetess, there's no comparison. Here was a woman who gave herself to the serving of God with fastings and prayers night and day. I mean, I must confess, even this little daily reading gets missed. in the hustle and bustle of getting up and going. And it's only a little page and a few verses. And someone says, it's very light reading. It's not in depth. You're not really getting into the Word. I still thank the Lord that these people put out this book. It warms my heart from time to time. But what I'm trying to say here is, this woman gave herself to fastings and prayer in the temple night and day. Comparing that with the Queen Mother, there's two different lifestyles. And when the actual time comes, I think Anna will be held up in high esteem, in glory. In fact, so much so that here she's getting referred to in Scripture that we can read about her this morning. And here, the little capstan that was sent to me, and this is all he sent, the widows in Luke's Gospel, the first one was a widow who served and worshipped. Now, I know there's dear sisters in here in our assembly even this morning, and they could fill that category. They serve and worship. And I have to take my hat off to them, because I couldn't do the work that they do. I couldn't, I'm thinking of Mabel, for example, going into the prison, and forgive me for mentioning your name, Mabel, but I could not do that work. Eric does it, and others, her brother Jim has done it. But for a woman, a widow, to go in and do a work, and to pray, and take upon her heart the care and try and bring comfort and bring the gospel to these people. These widows that are here, we hold them in high esteem. And God bless each one of you this morning as we think of the widows in Luke's gospel. A widow who served and worshipped. Now let's go on to the next one, which is just over the page in chapter 4. Chapter 4, and reading down at verse I've lost it. Yes, we'll read at verse 23. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, and that's the one we read of, when the heavens was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, probably pronounced that wrong, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And the little heading given here was a widow who was honored and provided for. She didn't deserve this particular choosing to bring help to Elijah, but God picked her out of all of the widows. In fact, she was an outsider. She wasn't one of the house of Israel. And when we think we have a hymn that refers to us as being strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, we were outsiders. The good news was originally the Messiah was, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as to as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. He brought us strangers in. Those of us who were Gentiles were brought in through the blessing of the what was to come to Israel, but they rejected it. And then God sent his son to the whosoever, the message was to the whosoever will may come. Now here was a widow that of whom we read was willing to obey or respond to Elijah's word. She first of all was willing to go and get that water for him. And then when he said to her to bake a little cake, she says, well, I haven't got a cake, but I have some meal. And then he said, well, you go and you do what you've got to do. Make me a cake first, and then make the cake, and you and your son live. And he said that bread or that meal would not fail, nor would the oils of the cruses of oil go empty. And we know the story as we have just read it, the blessing that came to that woman. But think of her heart when her son dies. Here she has just responded to the servant of God, and even Elijah did say that we had a red arm, that he wasn't so much upbraiding God, but he said to God, "You mean I've just come here and you sent me to this widow and now you take her son?" And he pleaded with God that he would revive or restore his soul into the lad, which of course God did, and the lad lived. But think of the anguish of heart that that woman, that widow, she's lost a husband and now she's lost a son. And here we have the little caption he's given me is a widow who was honoured and provided for. I'm sure again those in our own assembly can say amen to that. I mean, we like to take it, and many of us do, that Elijah was fed by the ravens. Can you hear the Lord Jesus say, "Take no thought for what you shall wear. Take no thought for what you shall eat," and so on. "Take no thought for tomorrow. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin." Then he says the very ravens. He feeds the birds. And then he goes on to say about two sparrows falling to the ground, or the sparrows falling to the ground, and they don't go unnoticed. Individual detail. Many of us have stood on a high, up in a high-rise building, looking down, and we see people just as ants. But just little tiny things. What does God see as he looks down? We see the mass demonstrations of people, and they're just one big mass of people, and you just see little specks. It'd be a terrible thing to be caught up in one of those demonstrations, but as God looks down, we are but like ants. While we were away, we at a picnic, there was a potato crisp dropped on the ground, or at least half of one, and to our amazement, and they captured it on video, an ant got the hold of it and dragged it back. You just seen it sort of marching along, and we could see the infinitesimal, just the size of the little creature or insect pulling that thing along. And in God's sight, we are just like ants. But he takes an interest in each one of us. Consider the ravens, as we've just said. And here was a widow who was honoured and provided for. And we too can say that we have been provided for in more ways than one, especially for salvation, not just for the material blessings or material needs, but especially for salvation. Let's take a look at the next one. The time is getting away. In Luke 7 and 12 is the actual verse. Read in verse 11 for the connection. "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up amongst us, and that God had visited his people," and so on. Here we have a widow who sorrowed but was comforted. You'll forgive me, but my heart goes back to Joanne and John. Very much still a raw thing with us all, isn't it? She's been over to see us a few times, and we are amazed at her brightness, her capabilities of carrying on, all the things she's had to attend to. But behind the scenes, you and I know there's still an empty seat. There's still that time she'd get up in the morning and go to say something to John, and there's no response. Those who are widows, and widowers for that matter, those who have been through it know what it's like. But here we read of a widow. She had a son, and it says it was her only son, and he had died. And as the Lord saw that procession, his heart was moved. He was moved with compassion. Isn't it great to know that this, our full-time intercessor, this widow of a few weeks, After a restless night, I felt too weary to pray for myself. Lord, I sighed, I need someone to pray for me right now. And the Lord, or the Spirit, reveals to her our great high priest, maketh intercession, prays for her continually. Isn't that good to know? That our Savior, our Lord, the one we've been worshipping this morning, He has us individuals upon His heart. A widow who sorrowed and was comforted. I better keep moving. The next one is in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We'll just get quickly through them. And the first one, He spake a parable unto him then to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, that she came unto him and saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him night and day, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I'll just give you the capstan for this one. A widow who prayed, and her prayer was answered. A widow who prayed, and her prayer was answered. And lastly, for the sake of time, we'll not dwell on them. Just gave you the heading. Luke 21, and we'll see what this one says. 21 and verse 3. Or we'll begin with the first verse. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. He said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these of their abundance have cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And we'll not dwell too much on it, just to give you the heading, a widow who was commended and extolled. So there we have the five widows in Luke's Gospel. Most unusual subject. I was rather curious and in my heart, what will I do? Shall I go this way? Shall I go that way? I trust it's been a blessing to you.